Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 17th. Joining us this morning from Spruce Point. How's that for all encompassing, huh?
Uh-huh.
The queen of Spruce Point, Jana Valakovic. You don't want the queen thing, huh? You don't do tiaras?
Maybe not.
Not for a while, huh?
It's been a while.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You look great with one, though.
Thank you. Or why do we say that this morning, smart guy? Is leopard. How did the leopard get its name?
Because of its spots.
No. Because of a mistake. It was once wrongly believed that a leopard was a cross between a Leo, lion, and a pard, or a white panther. Hence the name is leopard.
But you still didn't answer the question about the spots, because the spots are distinctive.
Yeah, that must be the panther part, I guess, or the lion part. I don't know. Yeah. It was a lion with measles.
Unvaccinated.
Yeah. I'm sure in the Serengeti they do a lot of that stuff. We hear an awful lot about UC system. Mm-hmm. You see this, you see that, and for a lot of us, going back to the old days, UC was research. State colleges were more the application. Okay, kind of made it easy for me to figure out why I would never be interested in going to the UC side of things, because I can't figure that stuff out. Is there still the delineation that way, that the UC system is research, and that's how come you guys are kind of locked into funding through the UC system rather than through state ed?
Let me answer that question in two ways. So I work for the University of California in partnership with both Humboldt and Del Norte counties, and that's a 106-year-old partnership, which has an interesting origin. And Humboldt is really the test case for California.
We were the first one?
We were the first one. Huh. We were the first extension office. And so let me answer your question first about, is UC the research university over the CSUs, the state university system? So UC has a PhD level program where the CSUs generally do not. So that's where the distinction comes. But let's go back for fun, because this is kind of fun. So in the middle of the Civil War, two fundamental things happened for the people.
California got statehood.
Right, there's that.
Okay.
So there was a department created called the People's Department. Do you know what that was?
The People's Department in California?
No.
Federal.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture. That was the first department dedicated specifically to the people. And so that, by context, I think helps us understand the other piece. There was also a national university system created. Do you know that we have a national university system?
That one I'm familiar with. I couldn't give you details, but I remember that.
The concept was that states were forming, and states had federal land within their mix. And so universities up to this point had been all privately owned. And so a national university system was created by the benefit of giving the states the ability to sell off federal land, to raise revenue, to start a university that would be in part federally funded. And that is the land grant school system. So in every state,
so I'm thinking like University of Virginia.
Perhaps. I'm not an East Coaster, so I don't
know. Well, neither am I. But I'm thinking, Jefferson and
well, so every state had the ability. And so in California, Berkeley was the first university created. In Oregon, it would be Oregon State, and so forth. So in every community, in every state, there are universities that have this land grant status. And those schools were specifically charged with two things: to focus on agriculture, again, the people's issues, as well as mechanical arts, which we now call engineering. And so 1864, we create these university systems, and they do ivory tower a little bit, as universities tend to do. And there was a recognition that the information wasn't getting out to the people.
And we'll get the information out to our people when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 824. We're back talking shop this morning with Yana Balakovic. Okay.
Not so bad.
About the origins, I guess,
of
public outreach. And it's interesting for me, you think of a lot of, like Stanford.
Sure.
Okay. An awful lot of research was done there historically. Obviously, though, the UC system has done a ton as well. I mean, you look to Davis, Poly Pomona, SLO, I mean, a lot of these schools. But it was the technical side. Is that kind of how got involved?
Well, so the mission of the land-grant schools were engineering and agriculture, specifically. And if you think about this in the 1860s, you know, it was right in the middle of the Homestead Act. You know, we were expanding across the country, Manifest Destiny. You know, all of this effort where it was putting new people in new places. What do you grow? How do you have food security? How do you store that food?
How do you harvest it?
How do you harvest it? How do you process it? You know, how do you store it? I mean, all of those questions were problematic. And so these universities basically were charged with trying to figure those questions out. But they didn't have a way to disseminate that information back to the communities that they served. And so in 1913, it finally came together with the idea that what if we partnered counties and universities together and did an educational delivery system that put people in those communities, embedded in those communities, to provide that two-way exchange. And so Humboldt was chosen for California as the test case in advance of the federal legislation that created us.
Because of the forestry? Because of the egg and the dairy? Or because the university was here, too?
No.
Because that's the same year.
We are the same year as Humboldt State was formed. You know, having now gone through our centennial, I started with we're behind the Redwood Curtain and we had a port, and so maybe it was the place you'd go the farthest to try and deliver this program. I later realized that really isn't the answer. I think the answer is that we have been known as early adopters and innovators for an extremely long time. And that's partially created by our own isolation, but partially because we have a culture of figuring out our problems and figuring out how to work together. And so I think
self-reliance more.
We're the self-reliance piece. And so I think we were looked at as being one of the few places that was ripe for that level of innovation and that level of investment. But the criteria was, and this is quite interesting, the criteria was that, okay, so if the university put someone in this community in partnership with a county and formed as a part of county government, well, would anyone be there to listen? And so the requirement was created that this person would have to organize the farmers so that they would be in a place where you could have that exchange of ideas and information.
More than a grange or anything like that.
And hence, we organized the farm bureaus. So Farm Bureau did not exist until the extension system was created. And so the extension person was required to organize the farm bureaus. And we had, I think at that time, like 13 farm bureau centers. And so the original first extension agent traveled by horse 29 out of 30 to 31 days a month, going from Farm Bureau Center to Farm Bureau Center, really bringing the ideas of soil fertility together. And this is in Humboldt specifically, and really bringing the idea that if you added certain nutrients, you could really unlock the productive potential of soils. And we still follow many of those practices today because we, based on our pH of our soils, if you add lime to them, you can essentially change the pH and create more nutrient availability.
Sure, you see that up in the bulb fields all the time.
All the time,
just
yeah.
Laying it out. I was curious how, with Humboldt and Delnard being linked, and the fact that there was no road linking.
Sure.
How the information got from one county to the other county early on, but by horse, obviously, there were trails.
Well, we are linked and we aren't linked. we are co-managed across both counties now. So I am the director both in Humboldt and Del Norte counties, but they're two independent programs. Del Norte came on board, I think it was in 1927, so a number of years
later. So the road had been punched through then.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And I mean, when you look at the rest of California, we are the first case. Then there were five more counties that came in 1914 once the enabling legislation came on board, and we ran the model here in Humboldt and proved that it was quite successful. So there's been evolution. So, you know, the extension offices in California have different points of year and origin. So we're in 57 of 58 counties. The only county we're not in is in Alpine.
Just because nobody else is.
it's a very small county with a very small population.
Right.
And so some offices are co-managed and then provide services across multiple counties and split people's time across multiple counties.
So as with that as a backdrop, the funding.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if it's a co.
Yeah.
You would think that the funding would be requirements would be shared, that the county benefiting would chip in.
Sure.
As well as the school system at the state level.
Right.
Would chip in also. Is it a 50-50 kind of partnership, or is it a little bit different dynamic?
It's not a 50-50 partnership. It's really about services. So the original allocation was $2,000. To bring a farm advisor to Humboldt County. And if you fast forward that in current day dollars, it hasn't changed that much. and what the county provides is both cash as well as a number of in-kind services that are super helpful. So they provide our office space, they provide our secretarial support, they provide our operating budget. The university provides the staffing.
So there's a pretty good chunk that the county does provide.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Right. It's still the requirement to get the information out?
Still the requirement to get the information out.
All right. I guess we'll have to do that when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning. So what is... Oh, wait a minute. I can see what your full... County Director and Forest Advisor. Is that
correct?
That's the full title? That's it?
Yeah. Well, you called me Queen, too.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. But I... fine. Got me. Yeah. Uh-huh. Queen Yana.
No.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDAC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. The information, the conduit of information, I suppose, is probably more accurate. Is it from the other extension offices throughout the state that you're charged with to provide to the local folks? Or is the office charged to create your own and then share it with the others locally as well as throughout the state? Is it twofold?
That's a great question. So what do we work on? I guess it's maybe where you start, right? So that varies by people coming in and talking to us about issues that they're struggling with, challenges they might have, or...
So I've got an infestation of XYZ.
Yeah.
Help me,
right? Okay. Or, you know, all of a sudden I've got cicadas in my field. I haven't seen them for... some time period, what do I do? To, boy, I'm really struggling with spotted owl issues and, you know, and the list goes on. Or it may be that, you know, our effort to be aware of issues helps us bring an idea forward and bring an idea back home. I would say the original concept that I would pull a book off the shelf and deliver a curriculum or a program already pre-made is not accurate, because the North Coast is so unique in climate and soils and geography and in population that there's not a lot that you can borrow from other communities. I mean, our dairy community, for example, we're pasture-based. We have, you know, more days on the pasture than any other community in California. We
really?
Absolutely. We have, you know, cool season crops that aren't grown in any other location in California. So that means that we do a lot more research and development locally, maybe borrow some of the ideas from other communities, but then have to test them here to be able to find out if they're viable in this particular environment. That makes us so much more relevant, because you just can't pull things from an environment in Davis and expect it to be applicable here.
Now, is there enough stuff from Mendocino?
Sure.
Or from Del Norte? So there is a regional component.
There's a regional component to it. And we definitely, in bioregions that make sense, pool our resources and support each other. So sometimes we're on a road show supporting other communities, and those folks are coming to us, and we're kind of on a whistle-stop tour delivering some common programming.
Well, so you're an engineer as well as a queen.
Bro, thank you. Yeah.
Whew, boy, I didn't realize who I was talking to.
Right. Great inflation left and right here. So our delivery can be one-on-one. Someone calls us. Someone walks into the office. It can be in the form of a workshop. It can be in the form of a webinar. We do those a lot now where, you know, you can dial in. It can be in a conference. And then there's a conference proceedings and a journal article then gets converted into popular press in some way.
As well as at the checkout stand at the grocery store.
Right, yes, yes. The tabloids are always after agricultural
extension.
No,
I was thinking more one-on-one here. Individual consultation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, radio, I think, is a great means to be able to communicate information.
So what are the areas? I mean, we talked about, you know, where you started.
Yeah.
Right, with the mechanical, okay, and that side of thing, and ag also, but your forest.
Right.
Okay, well, you could say that's ag, but for a lot of folks, we think of ag as waves of grain rather than trees.
Right. So the composition of expertise in each extension office varies. It varies by the environment that you're in. There's generally someone in animal agriculture, there's someone in plant-based agriculture, and then there's typically someone in a natural resources field.
Even like San Francisco County?
San Francisco County would have someone who does urban horticulture, actually.
Okay, so it's slanted with a focus to...
It's slanted with... Right, so we're not going to have an almond advisor here, right? But we,
or San Francisco.
Or
either.
San Francisco, yeah. But you will have someone who's skilled in specialty crops, for example, and, maybe pomology, maybe, you know, something that is more appropriate to the types of ag we have in this community.
So who determines what specialties are going to be?
Right, that's a great question. So then the other piece is that we've always had our foot in youth-based education, and our best brand name of that program is the 4-H program. So 4-H, when we were formed in 1913, was also was folded in specifically to the extension system. It had floated
out. So all counties?
All counties have 4-H.
Okay.
And so we're well known by 4-H, and 4-H is sometimes better known than us on our own.
Say it again.
In other words, people know the brand 4-H is extremely well known. Not everyone associates that as an extension program, but you can't have 4-H without it having extension, and you can't.
Is that California only?
No.
Oh, really?
Nationwide. So this concept is replicated in every county and every state in the nation.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. et cetera. Yes, yes. Depending on what you, what Her Majesty is going by these days.
Yes, I know. Well, my court here.
Yes. Now, going back in this show's history, the first from the extension office was the home advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was followed by forestry, and then, you know, things kind of developed that way. How many of those different programs are available here in Humboldt mm-hmm. County that you guys and gals work with?
Yeah. So you asked the first question. Let me get to that one right before the break, which was about how do you determine what composition, what expertise are in each community.
Well, and obviously they're going to be connected. Yeah,
they're going to be connected. Yeah. That is one of the Queen services I get to have, which is really when we have the opportunity to request positions, trying to right size it for our community and right select the topics and themes that people could work on. Then you put out a recruitment and you try and find someone who comes closest to those interests, but their capacities are going to vary, certainly by what expertise they bring in. But the second part you asked, which is what is here, right? So we have animal agriculture, we have rangeland agriculture, we have natural resources that cover range, we have forestry. We have a very unique program in fire, which in previous programs we've talked to Lena Quinn Davidson, who's just a rock star, and she's grant funded, soft money funded. But I brought that position to life in cooperation with her vision. She started out in a research assistant position, and we were able to promote her and
formalize it and promote
her. And now she is leading the charge statewide on fire issues, and is even nationally recognized for the kind of work she does, which is just amazing. And then we also have this whole lens in healthy families and communities, where we work in youth development, both within 4-H and outside of 4-H, as well as in nutrition and in a specialized program called the Master Food Preserver Program.
That's not the Master Gardener Program.
No, it's the Master Food Preserver Program. So similar, just like Master Gardeners, just like 4-H, the idea is with a base level of training, staff support on top of that, people come and take the program and then help deliver it. So we have, about 40 certified Master Food Preservers that still are active in their work. And so they do demonstrations at the farmers markets. They do demonstrations for special occasions. They do classes.
It's more than just learn how to can.
Oh, yeah. It includes breads. It includes fermentation. It includes dehydration. And there's, you know, whatever they want to come up with. And as long as it's science-based and an approved recipe, they go for it.
So with all of these options and this knowledge base that's out there, why doesn't anybody know about you guys?
Well, I don't know. Why doesn't anybody know about us? I think lots of people know about us. They just don't always know what the right name is to put on who we are.
So they see some of the services and they interact. They just don't know.
They don't know the umbrella that holds that together. And a lot of, or they'll maybe see the University of California umbrella, but they don't necessarily see that county umbrella. And, you know, I just really want to give a shout out. I mean, because the counties stick with us and, you know, we couldn't exist here as university employees without the county. We're discretionary. There's only one other department.
Oh, your general fund?
We're general fund. There's only one other department that's discretionary in the county. Can you name that one?
Law enforcement.
No, law enforcement's not.
Well, the sheriff isn't because he's a constitutional.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Library.
Library. So us.
We don't have a special district for that.
Right. So us and the libraries. Our department.
Partial credit?
Well, so we cost about as much as one sheriff and benefits annually, excluding their car.
Oh, you don't get a car?
No, I'm just saying that the sheriff and their car, they get the specialized cars,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
So we're crumbs in the toaster in the general fund, but with about a 5-to-1 replication and dollar-for-dollar match, the amplification of services is a great investment in our communities.
Does anybody question that?
Always.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Well, we just got to have to keep banging away on this drum week in and week out, month in and month out. You know, the people will understand, and they'll genuflect when appropriate.
Oh, stop.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, Yana. See you everybody tomorrow.